Okay. Welcome. Good evening. So glad you are here. There's a tremendous echo. Do you hear that, or just so I hear that? Okay, so the topic for this evening, we're going to learn some Hilchos Brachot. Okay, anyone hear anything funny? Okay, Hilchos Brachot, the laws of blessings. As you can tell, there are lots of laws of blessings. There are several volumes filled with them. So I've chosen a specific topic. I'm not sure if we'll cover it all tonight, or we'll break it up into two, or we'll carry over till next week. We'll see exactly how that goes. My two disclaimers as we begin is, number one, anytime you're teaching a class in Halacha, and it's not a running series, this is the first time that we've dealt with, so it's hard to gauge where the base of knowledge is for the class. So I'm going to just sort of shoot for it, I'm assuming, and I'm open to feedback. We're moving too fast, we're moving too slow, we need more background or less, it's totally fine, and just let me know as we go along. And second, I have to leave exactly at 8:30 to daven Mincha downstairs. And I say that because my initial intention was to present such a clear presentation of these sets of laws that there wouldn't be any questions that I would have to worry about. And after preparing this, and this is I think the fifth time that I've learned this particular set of halachas in preparation for something or learning it in depth, I just came to the conclusion that that is just impossible. So we'll stop a little bit early. Hopefully any questions. If not, you can catch me later, but I'm just warning you now I'm going to have to run out rather abruptly. Okay, let's begin. So tonight's topic is a phrase in Hebrew is known as Iker V'Tafel, which is defined as primary. Iker, the word Iker means primary. Tafel means secondary. These words are unfamiliar to you now. They will be very familiar to you by the time this evening is done. Primary and secondary foods, and how we handle that in our bracha making processes. Now, this is one of the most fundamental concepts in all of the laws of bracha. This will determine which bracha to make, how many brachas to make, when to make those brachas. And being that making a bracha is of extreme significance, uttering the name of Hashem is something not to be taken lightly, something which needs to be done with extreme caution, knowing when and how to make it. This one principle, which we will learn in a minute exactly what the principle is, and then we'll go through its applications, will define almost every meal you have. As you will see, a lot of it is intuitive, and you are doing it now already. And some of it probably will be a little bit you will be new. But we'll take it from there. So the rule is as follows. It's the number one. This is a quote straight out of a Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. The Mishnah says as follows. Whenever there is an Iker, whenever you have a primary food, and it's accompanied by a Tafel, a secondary food, the Bracha recited on the Iker exempts the Tafel from a separate Bracha. So the Bracha that you make on the primary food exempts the secondary food that comes along with it. That is the statement as it is. Now, this is something which you're all familiar with and you do every time. If you ever had an oatmeal raisin cookie, so what brachas do you make on an oatmeal raisin cookie? Make a mezonos. Everybody knows you make a mezonos. But really, if you would break it down, you should say to yourself, well, that's interesting, because the oatmeal part of the cookie is a mezonos. But what happens to the raisins? The raisins are not a mezonos, they're a ha'et. How come I don't make a ha'et also on my oatmeal raisin cookie? Well, it's because you intuit that the raisin is simply there to accompany and enhance the oatmeal part of the cookie, and therefore becomes secondary and doesn't need its own bracha. Every time you have salad with salad dressing, you could ask the same question. The bracha on salad dressing should be some form of a shahakol. The bracha on the salad itself, the leaves and the vegetables included in the salad, are all ha'adama. But you don't make two brachas when you eat a salad with salad dressing. You just make a bracha on the salad, on the hadama, on the leaves and the greenery in the salad, and the salad dressing is totally swept in, as are almonds. If you have almonds in a salmon, in a salad, so the almonds are called eight, but you don't make a separate bracha on that. Because of this general rule, which whether you knew it or didn't know it based on the Talmud, you all intuited it, that it's just simply not really significant enough to get its own blessing. And that is the basic premise of this rule, that if you have an ikker, you have something which is primary, and you have a secondary food along with it, the only blessing that is made is on the primary food and the secondary food, that which is tafel doesn't need a bracha. Now, the reason for this is very important, because it will affect how it plays itself out. The way that the sages explain this was expounded upon by the Chazon Ish, the great Jewish sage in the early 1900s and lived in Israel, that, obviously this rule applied well before him, but he's made famous. Is famous for having explained it this way, that the secondary food is considered covered by the initial bracha. It's not that the secondary food doesn't need a blessing, which could have been a possible way of looking at it. It's simply not here because of its insignificance. It certainly needs a blessing. It needs a bracha. It's simply covered by the ikar. It's covered by the primary bracha, which encompasses everything, and that's why it doesn't require its own bracha, which is going to be important to understand as we go along. It has to fit the principle that the bracha that's being made on the primary food will, in fact, cover the secondary food. Have to have it in mind, possibly. It has to be on the table. They have to be eaten together. There are going to be rules which will direct and guide this principle that when you make a bracha on a primary food, it will cover the secondary food that comes along with it. That's the basic principle. We'll go on with that as it starts. There are three primary ways in which we use this principle. Three distinct ways with three different sets of rules, which we'll see. Numbers 2, 3, and 5 on your sheet. We'll hopefully cover at least 2 and 3 tonight. 2 are as enhancers, in which one food is used to enhance the state of another food. And number 3 is a single entity mixture, where two foods combine to form a third new type of food. We'll discuss them now at length. And the third one, which we'll get to, will be food that's eaten during the bread meal. But let's start with the first one, what we'll call enhancers. Now, these are just made-up terminologies to define separate concepts. So an enhancer is where one food is used to enhance the second food. They're not combined into a new food. It's simply one is there specifically and clearly for the purpose of enhancing another one. So let's take classic examples. You have ice cream with a fruit topping on it. So why are you eating this food? So you're eating it for the ice cream. Everybody eats ice cream for ice cream's sake. But you want to have some type of topping. So you put cherries on top. Chocolate wouldn't be a good example because chocolate's also a shahako. But you have a cherry or fruit topping on top of your ice cream. So the second food, the topping, is clearly there to enhance your primary food, which is your ice cream. And therefore, the only bracha you make on this is your shahako, and you can eat your cherries or your strawberries without a separate bracha, because it's included within the bracha of the shahako, because it's clearly only here as an enhancement to your first food. Sour cream on blintzes. So you have a blintz. The blintz is a mizonos, a flour-based wrapped food. And you have sour cream. Dip it into sour cream or into applesauce. So the blintz should get a mizonos, and the sour cream would get a shahako. But when you dip your blintz into your sour cream is clearly here only to enhance the taste of your blintz. That's how we would view it. And therefore, the only bracha that you have to make would be the mizonos on your blintz, and the sour cream doesn't mean anything. Same thing would be true with latkes and applesauce. If assuming that you're eating the applesauce to enhance the latkes, so then all you make are the ha'adama on your latke, and you don't have to worry about the applesauce. And this is certainly true when you talk about ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise, all of those condiments. There's no question those are always there to enhance something else, and they never require their own separate bracha. So that's on the most simple, basic level of this concept. Now, where this gets a little bit more confusing is that this rule, if you'll note in the way that the Mishnah states it, is entirely subjective. The Mishnah states the rule. When you have a primary food and a secondary food, you make a bracha on the primary food. The Mishnah doesn't give us rules as to what defines primary and secondary food. That is entirely up to the eater. So, for example, melon and cottage cheese. So you go to someone's house, they put out a plate full of fruit, melon, they have cottage cheese. So some people like eating cottage cheese. I happen to not be one of them, but people eat cottage cheese. You can eat plain. Well, what if you don't want to eat it plain? You like it with a little bit more substance. So you take a piece of melon and eat it together with your cottage cheese because you really want to eat the cottage cheese, but you like the melon taste with it. In that circumstance, the only bracha you should make is a shahako on the cottage cheese, and you're allowed to continue eating the melon. We don't make any bracha on the melon. As long as you're eating the melon with your cottage cheese, it is entirely secondary to the cheese, which is really what you want, and you only make a shahako. Just one minute. The person sitting next to you really wants the melon, but once there's cottage cheese on the table, they figure, so they'll put a little bit of cottage cheese on their melon. And in their mind, they're eating melon with cottage cheese as opposed to eating cottage cheese with melon. So the person next to you would make a ha'adama because they're eating the melon. They really want the melon. And the cottage cheese is simply coming to enhance the melon. The person next to them wants the cottage cheese, and the melon is enhancing the cottage cheese. And they would actually make separate brachos, both of them only making one bracha because one of these foods is here to enhance the other. And they both would be correct even though they're making separate brachos. Now again, the assumption that I'm talking about now is where one is being used to enhance the other. It's not that you want both and are eating them together. There's clearly a preferred food, and you're enhancing it with something else. The other example, strawberries and cream. So most people probably, if they were to eat some type of fruit with the cream, the primary food would be the fruit, and the cream is coming to enhance it. And now under that circumstance, the correct bracha would be a ha'adama on the strawberry, and the cream doesn't get anything. But if there were such a person, say a young man in yeshiva, who really just wants cream, but his mother has taught him that you're not supposed to dip your finger into the cream to eat it, so he needs something with which to get the cream. So under such a circumstance, if he were to take a strawberry or a melon or anything and dip it into the cream, his correct bracha would actually be a shahakal, because his primary food is the cream. He's using the strawberry simply to enhance that, and he only needs one bracha, and it's entirely subjective on the person who is eating it, why they are eating it, what is considered the primary reason why they are eating, and what's considered secondary to it. So far, so good? Yeah.
Sometimes, like if I'm having
crunchy
and melon.
You're going to ask me, you want both?
About both.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I want to eat some
of the crunchy,
but
melon. Hold on. We're just starting. Okay. Now, that's the assumption, is where one is clearly being used to enhance the other.
Right.
So there are obvious examples. Right. Yes. Yeah. The obvious examples are ketchup. And ketchup is clearly just used to enhance something. Mustard and mayo. So some of these examples of melon and cottage cheese are going to be iffy. Sometimes you're doing it as an enhancer, and sometimes you really want both, which we'll talk about soon. But if you're doing it as an enhancer, where one food is coming to enhance the other, it only requires one bracha.
And if you really only cereal, you're going to get 8 milk. So,
depends on the size. Yes, if it's not a Mizona cereal, which we'll get to, if it's, say, cornflakes, yes, you would not make a bracha on the cornflakes if you needed to drink milk for some health reason and you couldn't get the milk down on its own. So you added cereal to it, and it was a cornflake type cereal which gets the bracha for hadama, you would not make the hadama, you would only make the shahat. That's correct. We'll get there. Now, they have to be eaten together. Let's say we have a person who's eating melon and cottage cheese, and so they really want the melon, so they dip it into the cottage cheese, and then after a while they just decide to take a spoonful of cottage cheese. At that point, since they're no longer eating it together, the rule that says the primary bracha covered the secondary bracha, it only covers it as long as it is secondary. Now that you're eating it as it's on its own, as a piece of cottage cheese on its own, you then have to make a bracha on that as soon as you stop doing that. So at that point, because you're no longer eating it together, it would require a bracha. Now, the major exception to this rule of using enhancers is mizonos. Mizonos are from the five primary grains that we make a mizonos on, are wheat and barley and spelt oats. Those types of products are considered by the sages to be of extreme importance. These are staples of our diet. And because of their importance as a staple of our diet, they can never be relegated to secondary status. They're simply too important to be like sort of brushed off and say, well, we'll cover you in the other bracha. So it's simply they're too significant. So what that basically means is, let's say you have cracker and you put some butter on the cracker. So in that circumstance, so what's the primary food? There's the cracker, obviously. The butter is secondary to that. You only need one bracha, that of a mizonos. So what happens if you want to eat cheese? Because your mother said you have to have cheese, it's a protein for supper. Fine. But you can't get the cheese down. You're just not interested in eating plain shredded cheese or cut, whatever it is. So you say, okay, so I'll eat it with a cracker. So under that circumstance, so it's a subjective entity, we say what's primary and what's secondary. So what's primary is the cheese. The only reason why you're eating the cracker is to help you get the cheese down. So the rule should have been, what bracha do you make? A shahakol. But because the cracker is so significant, because it's from the five grains and it's brachas and mizonos, you can't negate it, so you have to make a mizonos. But the mizonos in this case can't cover the cheese because cheese is really primary. So you can't possibly only make the mizonos. So under that circumstance, you have to make two brachas. You have to make a mizonos on the cracker because it's so significant it can't become a secondary to the cheese, and you have to make a bracha on the cheese. Because of its primary situation in this particular instance, it doesn't get covered by the cracker. So again, you can have a circumstance of two people sitting next to each other, both eating crackers and cheese. One person who's really eating crackers and doesn't want to eat just dry crackers, so they sprinkle a little bit of cheese on it, would make only a mizonos. And the person next to them who's really trying to eat some protein and try to get some of the calcium, all the benefits of the cheese, but they need to get some crackers with it, so they're going to make two brachos, because they need to make the mizonos on the cracker and they need to make the shackle on the cheese.
Yeah. Which one did you say first?
The mizonos. Even though, that's an excellent question, the question coming from the primary food is the cheese. But here you get caught in the general hierarchy of brachos and you make the mizonos first. An excellent question, yes. Hold on one second. In that circumstance, you would do that. I believe you do that. It might be, I'm going to look that up. It could be that you want to make the shahakal first because I'm pretty sure it comes down to this. I'll get back to that one.
Okay.
I think it comes down to this. Yeah. Okay. Excellent question. So toss salad is crouton. So how would we attack this one? Hold on that one. I want to discuss the next one. Hold on that one. Hold on.
So that's
cereal
bowl?
Yeah.
Is milk fat and
half
dirt for cereal?
Yes. Okay. Because in general... Right, and that's why they're eating the milk. In other words, would you have a glass of milk in the morning? The answer is... Yeah. The answer is no, but you want to have cereal, because you want to fill yourself up with breakfast. So you don't like eating dry cereal, so you're using the milk to enhance the cereal, and therefore... That's why you don't make a shahakal on the milk. And I want to just add one important point from the cereal and milk. A famous question comes up, what if you have extra milk left in the bowl? So you had cocoa pebbles, so you have chocolate milk left in the bowl. Now the biggest waste that everybody knows would be just to dump out the extra chocolate milk. So you want to drink the milk. Obviously you pour it into a cup and drink. But it's leftover chocolate milk. So that milk... What?
Add more cereal.
Right, but assuming that's not the case, you do not make a bracha on the milk even as you drink the milk by itself, because since this is the same milk that was left over, different than taking an extra bite of cottage cheese. When you have a melon and cottage cheese, as they're eating together, the cottage cheese is considered tuffle to the melon. If you then take a separate bite of cottage cheese, that's new. But when you have cereal and milk, so it's the same milk. This is the same milk that was left over. It's entirely covered by the bracha that you made on the cereal. And even if you were to down the milk straight out of the bowl after completing the cereal, that does not need a bracha. If you were to pour yourself a new glass of milk, then that obviously would require a new bracha. But the leftover milk, any leftover tafel, doesn't require a bracha.
What if you add milk to that cereal milk?
Same thing. That's always coming to enhance the primary food, which is the cereal in that case. Yeah. Okay, hold on now, that's also coming next. Yeah. Okay. The last exception you want to make mention of is rice. The bracha that we make on rice is a mizonos. But rice is a funny food. Even though it was given the bracha of a mizonos, it does not have the importance of the five grains. So just like as we said, the five grains can never become relegated to a secondary status. Five grains simply, they take over the food that they're part of, and you always have to make a bracha on them. Rice doesn't have that. So that if you were to have, I don't know what kind of food you would have where you sprinkled rice on top of a meatball, you had a meatball, a rice dish, I'm holding off on a specific example because we're going to talk about next. Rice would not have that quality of always requiring a blessing. If rice was used in a secondary format, then it would become secondary to the primary food, and you would only make the bracha on the primary food, and you would not require a bracha on the rice. The rice is the one exception to the rule of mizonos. Okay, now, I want to sum up what I said because I'm about to change it in the next scenario. This first case of enhancers are where the foods are not inherently mixed together. You're simply eating two foods together, but they've not become intrinsically mixed. They're just two separate foods. I have my case of a melon and cottage cheese, strawberries and cream. I'm eating them together, cereal and milk, one enhancing the other, but I haven't created a new entity of a mixture. That's where we have the situation where we base ourselves on what's your primary food, and you make your bracha on that. There's another category of Iker V'Tafel, which comes up all the time as well. It's the number three, what we'll call a single entity mixture, in which we've taken two separate foods and created a mixture, something new, from these two foods. There are three primary ways in which they're done, and then we'll work through them. So in number A, the letter A, so you have intrinsically, where you've created a new food, you take two juices. You have an apple juice and a grape juice. So an apple juice is a shahakol, grape juice is a hagofen. You pour them together, what bracha do you make now? There's a new food here that's a combination of apple and grape. Is the bracha shahakol or is the bracha a hagofen? So that's one type of mixture where we now need to determine, well, which bracha do we get here? You can cook foods together, and in doing so, you create a new food. Lasagna is a classic example that I brought here. You have mizonos, you have your noodles, you have your cheese, and now you have a new entity. What bracha is that? Or you could have where they're mixed together without cooking. Food cocktail would be a simple example of that, where you take bracha, apples and peaches and pears, which are all ha'et, you mix them together with pineapple, and you have a new mixture. Now what do you do with that situation? So the difference, the defining characteristic of this entire group is I've now created a food which should only get one bracha. However we're going to view it, it is a one bracha food because of the nature of the things that have been mixed in together. I should only be making one bracha. My question is, how do I determine and what bracha do I make once I've created a mixture like this? So the first question is, what defines it as a mixture? How do we know when we now have a one bracha food? Now, I just want to clarify something that I'm hoping not confusing. In the first case of the enhancers, you go back to your cheese and cracker example, those are two foods being eaten together, cheese and cracker. So the rule is one primary. If your primary food is the cracker, so then the cheese becomes secondary to that. All you make a bracha on is the cracker, and that exempts the cheese. If the cheese is your primary food, so then even though the rule should have been make a bracha on the cheese and it exempts the cracker is too significant and you actually make two brachas. The reason why it's possible to make two brachas is because if the rule of primary and secondary doesn't apply, you have two foods in front of you. Even though you are eating them together, they are two distinct foods being eaten together, and therefore it's possible to eventually make two brachas. If the cheese is primary and the cracker is secondary, we can't apply the rule and you have to make two. This second category is defined as a one bracha food. When you cook foods together, when you mix them together, you mix drinks together, it is never possible to make two brachas because by definition what you've created is a single food item in front of you, and therefore the rules will be a little bit different. So I'm hoping just as clarifying as you have a food in front of you, what it is that you're looking for as you break it down. So what is the first thing you're looking when you see your food in front of you and you're trying to figure out what bracha do you make? So the general rule is, if you will always get one spoonful will contain all the elements or most of the elements of the mixture, and it's been cooked and mixed together like that, that's considered to be a one food item, a one entity bracha type food. So to distinguish between fruit salad, think of your classic fruit salad. So the different types of fruit salad out there. There's some type of fruit salad where the pieces are big enough, if you take a fork, you put it in, you take it out, you're going to get one piece at a time. If you're going to get one piece at a time, and that's the way you eat this type of fruit salad, well then you're going to have to make as many brachas as necessary for whatever food you want to eat, because this is not going to be defined as a one-entity food necessarily. If you buy most of the store-sold fruit cocktail, little cups you give in your kids' lunches, are very, very small pieces. Every spoonful that you take out of that is going to have a little bit of everything of the mixture. That would be then considered a one-entity food, and will only get one bracha. Now, we'll talk more about this as we go through the example. So what do we do when we have such a food in front of us? I now have a lasagna. So lasagna is only going to get one bracha, that's for sure. Pizza, any type where the things are cooked together, mixed together. How do we determine what bracha to make once we have such a food in front of us? So there are a number of criteria. So starting with letter C, first thing you need to do is determine the ikar. Since the general rule that the Mishnah states is whenever you have two foods, and one is primary and one is secondary, you make a bracha on the primary and exempts the secondary. So that rule would apply here also. Even though we've created a one-entity food, but so you decide what's primary. So the first criteria we use in determining the primary is what you want. What is your particular preference? So, for example, this week, so if we have a meatball, and it's stuffed with some rice and some cut onion and some tomato. So you have a lot of different brachos in that meatball. Because the meatball is a shahakal, the meat from the meatball. The rice that's stuffed inside there is on the zonos. The little pieces of tomato in there and the onion are all ha'adama. So technically speaking, in this one meatball, you have three brachos. But everybody knows, what bracha are you going to make on this meatball? Because what's the primary reason why you're eating the meatball? For the meat. It's a meatball. It's not a rice meatball. It's a meatball. So assuming that you're within the majority of people who are eating this meatball for the meat, you would in fact make a shahakal, regardless of what percentage, depending on what yeshiva you're in when they serve that, was rice versus meat. If the reason why you're eating it is for the meat, that always becomes primary, regardless of numbers, percentages. I'm eating it for the meat. Therefore, all the other foods are secondary to it. The only bracha you make is a shahakal. So, a couple of examples just to work this through. So you have a fruit-flavored yogurt. So you go to your store, you have your yogurt, you mix it all up, and now you have a classic example of a single entity food, because the fruit's all mixed up within the yogurt. The yogurt itself should be a shahakal. Your strawberries should be a ha'adama. What bracha do you make on a strawberry-flavored yogurt? Well, that's all assuming that your primary reason for eating it is the yogurt. Assuming that's true, and for most adults I assume it would be true, the correct bracha would be a shahakal, and you don't have to worry about the fruit that's in there. If somebody really just wanted the fruit, and they only could get it through a yogurt, in that unlikely scenario, that correct bracha would then be a hadama, and then the yogurt. An example of that would not mean buying a yogurt, but sometimes you have a bowl of fruit and you throw a little yogurt into your bowl of fruit. But if you're buying a fruit-flavored yogurt, it's almost always going to be that the primary food is the yogurt and the fruit is secondary. If you have a bowl of fruit and you throw a little yogurt in there and you mix it all up together, there it's very likely that the primary food you're eating is actually the fruit and the yogurt was just enhanced to get a little other healthy food in there. But normally a store-bought yogurt you would make a shahakal, yeah?
Fruit on the bottom. My kids eat the top, the yogurt part, and then eat the fruit on the bottom.
Right, so what should they do there?
Well,
think it through. What's the first thing we need to do is determine if there's a primary and secondary food here. But are they eating it together?
No.
Is there a mixture? Is there a single entity food here? There's not. So they would make two brachas. They should make a shahakal on the yogurt, and then when they get to the fruit, they should make a hadama. There's no way that you could somehow construe this to be that the fruit is enhancing. In your mind, it is because you're only getting them to eat the yogurt by getting to the fruit. But, and they're eating too. You can't ask questions from kids. That's just the way you gotta go. Okay, so if it's not real fruit, I don't eat yogurt, so I don't know how to eat it. If the real whole fruit, then you make a hadama. If it's pureed, where it could be poured, and it's not real whole stuff, then it goes to a shakal. But assuming it's real whole fruit, I mean that works. What about sushi? Sushi is a great example. What broccoli do you make on sushi? So it depends. What is sushi? So you have a lot of rice. It's wrapped up in a ha'adama. It's wrapped up in a, depending on where you buy it and what it is, there's either fish or there's a vegetable wrapping or something maybe on top. Just yesterday I had this kiwi type of sushi. So what broccoli do you make on sushi? So first of all, is it going to be is something enhancing it, or is it considered a category A or category B? Is it a single mixture entity, or is it a where one thing is enhancing the other? So I think it's a single entity mixture because you're never going to take a bite out of sushi and not get the whole thing. Every time you take a bite out of it, it's too small. It is now been made through it being mixed together and wrapped up. This should only get one bracha. It would be inappropriate to sort of pick out a grain of rice and make a mizonos and to pick out a piece of the vegetable. It would be inappropriate to do that because it's a one bracha food. Question just becomes, well, what bracha do you make? So, I don't know, it's totally subjective. Why are you eating sushi? Now, there might not be an answer to that question, but that's the first question that you would ask. Is there a primary food group within this sushi food group in front of me? Because there's a vegetable, there might be fish, there's definitely rice, and often you have other things in there.
Sometimes you don't know what's in there.
Sometimes you don't know what's in there.
Sometimes you just like it all together.
Okay, that'll be step B. The first question that we ask is if there's a primary. That's the first question you ask is, can I say, when I looked at the menu, I wanted to eat whatever the thing is, and it's part of the sushi, but I'm eating it for this, or I'm eating it for the rice. Now, I don't know that there's an answer in sushi, whether or not someone would say, I'm specifically eating it for this. I would imagine most times not. You're eating sushi because of, it's sushi. That's just what it is. It's all together. But you have to first ask yourself the question, is there a primary food? Salads are the same way. you have a salad, you have almonds, you might have craisins, raisins, all sorts of different stuff in there. Every time you take a bite of your salad, you're getting a little bit of everything. You're getting a little bit of the leaves, you're getting a little bit of the almonds, you're getting a little bit of the craisins. So it's going to be one bracha only because it's all mixed up together. Everything comes together. Well, what's the primary entity in the salad? And that's pretty obvious. It's always going to be the salad, and therefore you only make a hadamah on the salad because that's clearly your primary intention in eating it, and the other things become secondary to it. Okay, that's step number one. Why are you eating it? Now, as many of you mentioned, very often you don't have a primary reason. There is no specific reason. Take, for example, our sushi example. So you can't say there's a primary reason why I'm eating this. Or stuffed cabbage. Why are you eating stuffed cabbage? For the cabbage or for the meat inside? I don't know. I'm eating stuffed cabbage. I'm eating it because it's stuffed cabbage. I like it together like this. Or a fruit salad is a great example where you can't say there's a primary and a secondary. Why are you eating the fruit salad? Are you eating it for the peaches and for the pears and for the apples, or are you eating it for the pineapples? I don't know. I'm eating a fruit salad. That's just what it is. So what do you do when you can't have step one? You've determined that the food in front of you gets only one bracha, but you don't have a real reason why you are eating it. There is no principal reason to eat it. You're eating it because it's what it is. So the second criteria you then go to is to the majority. In these circumstances, majority rules. So if you go to sushi, so you look at a piece of sushi and you say, I can't determine why I'm eating it. I'm eating it because it's sushi. I have rice, I have vegetables, I have fish, I have everything in it. What's the majority component to sushi? Right. So what bracha should you make? If you can't determine why you're eating it, the next thing you go to is majority. You would make a mezonos on sushi, and that's the bracha that you would make, and that encompasses everything else that's part of it. You have fruit salad. So why are you eating the fruit salad? For the eighth product, the apples and the pears and the peaches, or for the pineapple? I don't know. It's fruit salad. Just have a look at it. What's the majority of the fruit salad? So it depends on how they make it. Often it's the eighth. It's often... it depends on the type of fruit. I don't even want to say often. Just whatever it is, if it's a majority of a cantaloupe and a honeydew and a watermelon type fruit salad with a couple of grapes thrown in, so then you're going to make a ha'adama because the principal majority component is the ha'adama. And if it's a type of fruit salad that has more apples and pears and peaches in it than a couple pieces of pineapple, you would make the ha'eh. Similar to a mix, nut mix. They have the bowls of nuts in it. So peanuts are ha'adama. And all other nuts are ha'eh, as are raisins are ha'eh. You often have this really intricate food in front of you, all these mixed nuts and raisins. Well, what bracha do you make on them? Well, is it one entity food or two entity food? So it's going to be a one entity food because every handful you take, you get a little bit of everything. So you only are going to be making one bracha on this food. And then you look at, well, why are you eating it? Are you eating it for the peanuts, sharha adama? Well, you're eating it for the almonds and the raisins and the other types, cashews. I don't know. I don't have a preference. It's I don't care. It's a mix. It's a mix. So then the next question you would ask is, what's the majority? And if you can determine the majority, that would be what would get the bracha. Yeah?
Raisins aren't really
down
the bracha.
That's true.
And so you say raisins are not getting it, you have...
Wine, right.
Why
do we have a grape? Because what determines whether or not something is ha'eth or hadam is whether or not that which the fruit grew on maintains itself from year to year. So a grapevine stays from year to year. It doesn't have to be replanted. So it has the status of a tree, even though it isn't from a big bark and what we would normally consider a tree, as opposed to your classic vegetable needs to be replanted year after year. Because the sages understood the primary product of a grape is really its wine. That's its principal contribution to the world. So that gets special bracha ha'gefen. When it's not being used for that, it still is a fruit of the tree and therefore gets a ha'eth. Yeah?
Okay, so if you took a handful of nuts, but you like to eat them separately, you like to take them out.
Right. So it would be inappropriate to do that in a mix, which only should get one bracha. Once it's been mixed together, you can, but you shouldn't make two brachos. Right. Because it's a one entity food, you have created in a mix like that. If it's a mix where the normal way to eat it is if you were to take a spoon and you would just to get it, you get a little bit of everything, it is now a one bracha food. And therefore, it only should get one, unless you're not planning on eating every part, you're only going to be picking out a certain type. But if you're going to be eating a little bit of everything, then the question is, what do you prefer? And whatever you prefer becomes that. That's the principle. Everything else is there to enhance it, and you make that one bracha.
Okay.
Yeah? No? Yeah.
When it's separate food, like we'll have it occasionally, you make a bracha over each, because it's all separate.
Yeah, once they're separate, because then you don't have a rule like this that says that something is primary and secondary, because it has to, they have to come together to have that rule. Okay, yeah, but that's just which bracha you make first, but not a question, a separate question from do you make separate brachas? Maybe I misunderstood your question. What was your question?
The fruit. Is that another bracha after you made the mezonos? Like a kiddush?
Yeah, so you make a mezonos on the cake.
Right.
And you make a eighth or hadama on the fruit that you're eating.
But each separate fruit gets a
yeah.
Bracha. Okay.
Again, so let's say stuffed cabbage. Just working this through again. Stuffed cabbage. So the first question you ask yourself is there a primary food here? And you say, no, there's no primary food. I'm eating it because it's stuffed cabbage. I don't have a primary reason I'm eating it. So then the second question you ask yourself would be, what's the majority? So depending on who made the stuffed cabbage, so you would either have cabbage, you would have rice, or you would have meat. But if you can't determine the reason why you're eating it, again, if you say, I'm eating it for the meat, right? I just have to put up with the rice and the cabbage, then you make a shahakol. If you want to just eat cabbage and you're putting up with the fact that there's some rice, and then you make a hadama. But if you can't say that and you have to go to majority, then look at what is the largest percentage of product here, and whatever that would be, whether that be rice, be the cabbage, or if it be the meat, that would be the bracha that you would get. Now, let's say these two things don't work for you because you can't determine the majority. Most mixed nut mixes, not really easy to determine that there's a clear majority. It's peanut versus cashew. It's hard to tell. A lot of fruit salads are hard to tell. Stuffed cabbage is going to be pretty hard to tell what the majority is. So what do you do when criteria number two doesn't work for you? You can't determine your particular preference. You can't determine the majority. So guideline number three is what's known as the most inclusive bracha. Now, what this concept basically means is that there is a hierarchy in brachos that go up in specificity, so that the most inclusive bracha is a shahakol. A shahakol, which we generally will make on eggs and fish and meat and the like and drinks, but the words of the bracha are shahakol nihiye v'dvaro. Everything comes because of your word. That bracha works for all foods. Even if you made that bracha and you weren't supposed to have made that bracha, but it works because it's true. That bracha covers everything. And the next level is a ha'adama. The bracha that you make on a ha'adama would cover not only the fruits which grow from the ground, but even a fruit which came from a tree, even though you were supposed to have made a ha'eitz on it because it came from a tree. But if you accidentally made a bracha of a ha'adama on a fruit, that also works because it's true that this fruit does come from the ground. Borei pri ha'adama, that you have provided the fruits of the ground. You could have made a more specific bracha, but the bracha of hadama covers trees as well. If you made a ha'eitz, that only covers trees. You could not make a ha'eitz on a vegetable because it's simply not true. If you were to say borei pri ha'eitz on a carrot, you would have to make another bracha because of the fact that the carrot doesn't come from a tree, it comes from the ground. So in our hierarchy of inclusive brachas, a shahakol is the most inclusive, and then a hadama would be the next level, and that includes both fruits from the ground and fruits from the tree, and then you have just your fruits from the tree. So if you have, say, a group of nuts, you have a mix of nuts, so you have peanuts, and you have cashews, and walnuts, and all the other things which are ha'eitz. So you first go to your first preference, which one am I eating this for? I don't have a preference. Which one is the majority? I can't figure out. Well, between my two brachas of a ha'adama on the peanuts, or a ha'eitz, which bracha should I make? You make the hadama because that's the most inclusive bracha between your two choices. If you have stuffed cabbage and you can't come up with your personal preference and you can't come up with a majority and you have your three options in front of you, a hadama on the cabbage, a shahakol on the meat, or a mizonos on the rice, so you make the shahakol because the shahakol which came from your meat option is the most inclusive bracha and covers all of the possibilities in front of you. So whenever you get stuck and you can't, you have a one food entity in front of you and you can't determine your personal preference and you can't determine a majority, so then you go with the most inclusive bracha. Now, chocolate covered nuts, they put down their chocolate, is very, always confusing because it's, I mean, if you can, it's easy if you can come up with a preference.
Chocolate.
It's really, you know, all this fun, they talk about this question, like, what do you do with chocolate covered nuts? What do you do if you don't have a preference? And I shared your question, like, what do you mean you're not eating it for the chocolate? It's like hard to imagine. But that's always going to be a difficult one because of the fact, let's assume you're eating it for the chocolate. If you're eating it for the chocolate, you make a shahakol. The reason why it's a fascinating discussion is because if you don't have your preference, you're not going to have a majority. It's hard to tell out of a peanut that's covered in chocolate which one is the majority. When you talk about the all-inclusive bracha, so there's a fascinating discussion amongst the halakhic authorities. So what should have been the rule? So let's say you have a chocolate-covered peanut and a chocolate-covered cashew. So the rule should have been shahakol because the peanut, chocolate-covered peanut is a shahakol versus ha'adama debate. So the shahakol should have won out. And a chocolate-covered cashew is a shahakol versus ha'ait debate, and the shahakol should have won out there also. So there's a fascinating discussion in the halakhic authorities that chocolate really comes from a cocoa bean, which is a type of bean which really should have gotten no ha'ait because it grows again every year. So really we should be making no ha'ait on chocolate. Because its primary reason for being grown is to be made into chocolate. The custom that is a universal custom is to actually make a shahakol on chocolate, but it really should be a ha'et. So the post can write that if you had a chocolate-covered cashew, and you weren't sure what bracha to make, and your debate is between the shahakol on the chocolate versus the ha'et on the cashew, you really should make the ha'et, because really, 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 a chocolate bar should have gotten a ha'et, and under those circumstances, that's what you would do. If you have chocolate versus peanuts, so then you would go with your ha'adama, or really your shahakol, you go with your shahakol to cover that. That's a discussion, but most of the time it's not relevant because we eat chocolate for chocolate's sake, and therefore your personal preference would always trump everything, and you would go with your shahakol. Yeah?
What would rice and beans sound like if you had people around?
Okay, rice and beans. So excellent question. So you have a rice, let's work it through. So you have rice and beans and they're mixed up together. So first question I would ask you would be, why are you eating it?
Verbosal.
You say verbosal. So my personal preference doesn't help. Then I would say, what's the majority? Can't tell, they're equal. So now you have a debate between a mizonos of the rice and a shahakol, a hadama of the beans. So what would you go with? Not a shahakol. It's an excellent question. Because they're not inclusive of each other. I think I'd go with the hadama. Because technically the rice came from the ground. And therefore I would go with the hadama. It's an excellent question. I'd go with the hadama. Yeah. Chocolate covered raisins would be the same thing. You would go with, first you should eat it for the chocolate. And if not, I think you go with the shahakol. Now there's a trick that you should always be aware of. And whenever you run into a bracha issue, you can't take the food that has the lack of clarity and break it up into two. You have a chocolate-covered raisin, it's really supposed to get one bracha. You can't make two out of it. But you can go to your refrigerator and take out a glass of orange juice and make a shahakol on that, and you could take a piece of an apple and make a ha'et on that. And now you're covered, and you can enjoy your chocolate-covered raisins without having to worry. So if you take separate foods, there's no prohibition against taking a new food and making a bracha on that. That's not unnecessary. If you want to drink a glass of orange juice and make a bracha on orange juice. You can't do it with water. With water, you only make a bracha on if you're thirsty. So you couldn't use water for your shahakol. But if you had a debate and you're not sure about a number of different brachas, you could always just open up the refrigerator and find a leaf, make a hadam on that. You could find a drink and make a shahakol on that. Find a cookie, make a mizonos on that. You could usually work that out if you get stuck. But it's important to know the losses anyway. Yeah.
Say you're
having something for the doctor said you need a medicinal purpose, and you think it's so much that you're putting something else with it, so that it doesn't taste so bad. Right. Okay. Is the preference really on having this thing because medicinally it's good for me, or because of the taste? Is that what's the preference? It's a good question. In other words, you have to eat, let's say, spinach, because somebody's making you do it. You can't handle that, so you douse it with honey. So you want to know, you have to be eating the spinach. I think it's clear, it's a good question, but it's clear I think that would be a hadamah. because the primary food is going to be the spinach. The honey is coming to enhance that to make it more palatable for you, and it always will fall into the category when you're looking at a primary and secondary food. The reason why you're eating all the honey is because of the spinach, and therefore that will always define it as a primary food. I would think so. Yeah.
What about when it doesn't resemble itself, like apple pie?
Okay, as a separate question, in terms of when does a fruit that gets mashed lose its bracha? Separate discussion. Hold on, I'm going to...
I just have one thing. The chocolate, I thought you said ideally it should be on the tree, so if raisins are from a tree, so we should
make ha'eitz. Yeah, chocolate-covered raisins would be a ha'eitz if you got stuck in that, yeah. I didn't say that clearly. If you had chocolate-covered raisins, the correct bracha would be ha'eitz, because on both sides of the equation, that would be the correct bracha to make. Okay, one more... Right, so if you got stuck in the third category, if you couldn't determine that you were eating it because of the chocolate or for the raisin, and you can't figure out which one's the majority, right, that's why I don't understand the whole discussion. I'm with you. I don't understand. No, I haven't got it yet. I'm about to get there right now. Okay. Now, if you thought that you were clear on these three criteria, let me just confuse you, because there's one very major exception to these three rules, and that I've ignored until now, and that's in the zonos, the five grains. Five grains, as we mentioned, trump everything. Now, here's where it's going to be a little bit different than the first discussion that we had. I'm just going to review that again for the sake of clarity. Crackers and cheese are two foods being eaten together, but they are two distinct foods, just put one on top of the other. Therefore, if the cracker is your primary food, great, that will exempt your cheese. If your cheese is the primary food, you have to make a broth on the cheese because it's primary. You can't ignore the cracker. You'll actually end up making two brachas. When we create in our new category a single entity food in which we've mixed them together or we've cooked them together, you never can make two brachas. You will always go with what's considered primary, and that's it. So in this circumstance, let's say I make a lasagna. And I say to you, all right, here's a lasagna. I have mezonos for the noodles. I have cheese. I have other stuff in there. What bracha do I make? So here, normally I would go through my process. Why are you eating it? What's the majority? When it's a mezonos and it's a single entity food, the discussion is over. Mizonos trumps everything and always dictates this is your primary food. So a lasagna gets a mizonos, and I really don't care if you're eating it for the cheese, but you can't tolerate just eating cheese, so you put some noodles in there, or you're eating it for the noodle. Whenever you have a single entity mix, and one of the ingredients, the primary ingredient is mizonos, that becomes your primary food, and therefore only gets the mizonos. And that is on your list there in section D1, all of these foods which only get mizonos, which you're probably familiar with, and this is the reason why, blintzes. So it doesn't matter to me if you're eating it for the potato or you're eating it for the cherry filling, it doesn't matter. It's a single entity food. Every bite of the blintz you're going to get has a little bit of the filling and a little bit of the external dough. And therefore the broth that you make on a blintz is going to be a mizonos, regardless of why you're eating it. Knish, same story. Even though you might really want the kash inside or the potato inside, whatever's inside, the outside wrapping will determine that this is always going to be a mizonos. Same thing by cholent. If you're eating a cholent and it's not on Shabbos, it's difficult to understand that you would eat the leftover cholent on a Sunday night. Usually we avoid this problem because we've already washed for lunch. But if one were to eat cholent and had not washed before, so if there was barley in the cholent, and the pieces are all considered small enough that it's a single entity mixing of big pieces of potato or of meat, a different story. But that would explain why you're eating cholent on a Sunday night, because there are big pieces of meat left in there. But if it's all small and it's a single entity food, so the fact that you really want the beans and the potatoes doesn't matter, because if there's barley in there, the barley is going to trump the dish, and you're going to make a mizonos on the cholent, and that would be the only bracha that you would make. Same thing with cereals. Now when I say cereals, I mean when you're trying to figure out the bracha, you flip over a box of cereal and you see there's corn flour and there's oat flour. So you say, well, if corn flour was listed first, so then it would seem that the primary ingredient in my corn flakes is corn flour. That should be a hadama, a shahakol, because I make corn flour by grinding it up, it becomes a shahakol. But since there's oat flour in there also, even though that might not have been the primary ingredient, so oat flour is going to trump the entire single entity mixture, and will therefore transform your cereal into a mizonos. So you got to look at your ingredients There's a catch to that, which we'll get to in a second, but almost if you see any of the grain flours in the first two, three, four ingredients, you can be pretty confident that it's being used there as a staple of the food. And even if it's not the first, that will determine that your food is a mizonos. Onion rings are the same thing. Onion rings have a very thick mizonos batter around the onion. And even though you say, well, they're called onion rings, the primary food here is the onion, that's very nice, that could be why you're eating it, but the fact that there's a batter here and every bite of the onion you get will have part of that batter, then I don't ask the question of why are you eating it, what's the majority, what's the most inclusive bracha. The mizonos presence in that food will always trump the food and will determine that the bracha is a mizonos. Hold on one second, I'm going to have to run, I want to try to get through a little bit more. Now this gets into a major issue with breaded fish and cutlets. Because depending on the type of breading that you use, if you use a cornflake that's a hadama type of cornflake, so then it's fine. And the fine, I have a breaded piece of fish, and the breading on the outside is, breading is a bad word for that, but is a hadama, and the fish is a shahakal, so you make a shahakal because that's obviously the primary food. But if you're using a matzah meal type of breading, so what you've created is a mizonos fish. Because if you have this batter surrounding your fish, so it's mizonos. It's a one-entity food. Every bite you take will have a little bit of the batter, a little bit of the fish. And if the batter is a mizonos, you've technically created a mizonos. Now, if it's a thin batter, this is subject to a lot of halachic disputes. It's a very thin batter, and a lot of times the batters, the coatings are pretty thin, then there are a lot of poskim who are not comfortable with this because it seems to be such a clear indication that the primary food is your fish, and this is really just to hold it together or to present it, that gets into a lot of discussion. So what I would suggest is as follows. If it's a thick batter, then there's no question you make a mizonos. If you ever have a thick batter around or a thick breading around your fish, or it's clear it's a mizonos, there's no question about it. If it's a thin coating, so you're technically correct in making a mizonos. You would not be incorrect in getting a drink and making a shahakal on that, because there are posts when it's a thin covering who are, you have to make a mizonos, because since it's so primary, you never can get away with eating it without making a mizonos. And so since there are those who don't want to say that the shahakal is considered secondary to that, it's worthwhile to take a drink when you have that situation. That's a tricky situation when you have a thin batter of a mizonos type of product. You always have to say the mizonos, because that can never become right.
If you bought something out, it's too much in that time.
The deal is like this. This is a little bit tricky. I hope I'm saying this overall correctly. The exception is as follows. And I want to get to the next seven. We'll start with this. The exceptions are that the mizonos product has to be used in a significant way. So what that means is it's not being used as a binding agent. It's not being used just for color, or it's not being used just to provide that it can either a no stick or that it can provide that it could stand on its own. So, cheesecake is a classic example of this. Very often, a cheesecake has a big, because it's a piece of cheesecake and a thin little piece of dough on the bottom. The reason why the dough is there is just to allow the restaurant to scoop it out and put it on a plate. That's not considered a significant use of it, and therefore, that piece of cheesecake would only get a shahakal, even though there's a batter there. A thick, sometimes you get a good piece of cheesecake with a nice thick batter on the bottom, that crust is significant, and that crust would then define the entire food as being a mizonos. Then you'd only make a mizonos on the cheesecake, and not the shahakal.
How is that cheesecake different from the way you bread it?
So that's what I wanted to get to. So I wanted to clarify that. So if it's very lightly breaded, I said you always have to make a mizonos. I'm not sure about that, because it could be that if it's really lightly breaded, just to provide color, as it sometimes is, or that you should be able to get it in and out of the pan better, if that's why you're using it, I don't know if you do or not, then you would not even make a mizonos. I assume you make a mizonos because most of the time it's breaded, it's at least for taste or substance on some level. It might not be a thick crust, but you want it to be... Right, so then, and because it, if it's being used as an enhancer, so you have to determine how you're cooking it and why you're cooking it. If it's really just there for color or for some other reason, then it wouldn't get it. Then it has to get mizonos, yeah.
You're saying that the dough...
It's not even an enhancer. It's really... because it's 100%. And if they could do it that way, it's really... when there's those thin little pieces on the bottom, you do not make a mizonos on that. Yeah, no way.
So it's
One of them. This is a subject, and if it's significant and it's made out of the grain, then 100%, you would make a mezonos on that. It's only when sometimes, I don't know if it's the cheaper cheesecake or the more expensive cheesecake, it depends on which way you like it, if you like more cheesecake or more of the bottom part, but sometimes they're very, very thin and they really are not considered significant. Sometimes in the cereals also, that's what it is. Sometimes in cereals, you have flour of certain grains in there, but they're really only there as a binding agent. It's difficult to know that as a consumer. You just see it on the box of the label. And it's very far down. Sometimes you'll find an oat flour, you know, far down the list. It's not really being used in any significant manner, and it wouldn't create a mezonos out of that.
Some people walk for tortillas, so
yeah.
How do you know what the percentage is?
Call your local Orthodox rabbi who works for the AKC and can tell you that question. I have to find out how these things are made. It's not anything I can tell you. I don't know. I'm just saying the principle would be if it's just sometimes thrown in there. Someone once told me when they were in, I'm going to leave it a minute. When someone told me when they were in Israel, there was a person on Friday afternoon, the man Sharon used to make sholin for the guys who were walking around shopping to buy. And so he said, don't worry, the mezonos, he specifically just throws in some flour to make it a mezonos. So the reality is, because it's confusing bracha, what bracha do you make on the sholin? Is it a hadava? Is it a shahaka? What do you do with it? So just throwing in flour doesn't help. You can't just pretend to make the flour ingredient something substantial. It has to be used in a substantial way, and then it will take over the product and actually create a mezonos. Sometimes soups are like that, where it's just thrown in to provide a little bit of substance. That does not create a mezonos if it's not there for the taste or the sustenance that it gives. If it's just there as a binding agent, that doesn't work. We didn't get so far. We got far, but not far enough. So next week, Mirat Hashem will continue. There's some other topics on this, then we'll go back over just to make sure. I know I can't take questions now, so if there are questions, please write them down, and we will go back over them, Mirat Hashem, next week.